Well, it's so good to see all of you here today as we continue in our sermon series over the I Am statements. Because as we've been looking at these sermon series, the I Am statements of Jesus tell us who Jesus is and how he continues to transform our life. Now, we've been looking at statements like that Jesus is the great I Am, the time that Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you missed any of these messages, you can go on our website and find them there. And then next week, we're going to look at how Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. As we proclaim that the grave cannot hold down our God and our King. But today, we're going to jump into this one, the time that Jesus says, I am the true vine. Because in this, and this is our main idea for today, that when you and I feel disconnected, God is our source of strength. And so I want to look at this statement in John chapter 15, starting in verse 5. And it says this, and we'll also have it on your screen. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burn. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Well, if your house is anything like my house, one of the most popular items is the power cord. And in fact, the power cord is so popular that it has even, you know, some classic phrases that go along with it, like, you know, that's my power cord, and have you seen my power cord, and where is my power cord? And of course, my personal favorite is this one. May I use your power cord? Oh, I see you have 20%. I only have 12%. I get to plug in. So if your house is anything like mine, these are some of the conversations you might hear the most. Now, and not only that, but in addition to all of these other devices that we have plugged in, we now have our Chromebooks plugged in. So we have our Chromebooks, our iPads, our iPhones, all the other devices, they're all plugged in. And then even yesterday, it was pretty cold, I thought, you know, instead of turning on the heater, I'll go out and get our little space heater and we can all gather around it. And we did. And then the puppy got in front of it and it was so cute and it was awesome. But I had to say, hey, can I unplug your power cord so I can plug this in? It's just one of those most popular items in our house. Because we all know this, that if you want power, you have to be plugged in. And that's the same with our relationship with God. Because let me ask you this question. Have you ever felt disconnected from God? I mean, we all have at times, particularly in really difficult circumstances. But in many ways, our disconnection from God mirrors our disconnection from people. Because we're about 3 weeks into sheltering in place and really living this extrovert nightmare and this introvert dream. We're all living this right now. And even as we've talked about this on multiple occasions here at Table of Grace, that really social isolation was at epidemic levels in our culture already. But we can only imagine how much more difficult it is for those who are experiencing this. Because not only are we all sheltering in place, but many of us have been removed from our normal social routines in which we would even have some connection with other people, whether they'd be at work or going to restaurants, that we don't even have even these casual connections anymore. All of that's been taken away. So is it any wonder that many of us are feeling uneasy, we're feeling anxiety, we're really feeling this loss of connection from other people. And that same feeling that we have towards each other really does mirror how our soul feels towards God. That we can feel this disconnection from God that in many ways feels the same way as our disconnection from people. And for some of us, God has wired us in such a way that we need other people to even experience God. But I want to tell you here today that God is not sheltering in place. That God is right there with you now, wherever this message is finding you on the other side of whatever screen you are watching this on. God is present with you and ready to be connected to you. So I want to ask you to share with us however you enjoy connecting with God. Share with us on Facebook or Instagram, drop it in the comments, wherever it might be. But share with us how you connect with God. Because I believe it will be interesting to see how each of us connects and maybe even encourage us to connect in other ways. For some of us, it could be reading scripture is how we most connect with God. Or maybe for some of us, it's a time of prayer and we even have a special place that we pray. Maybe some of us connect with God best when we're at the lake with our feet up, sharing photos of that. But whatever it might be, share a photo and let us know how you connect. One of the ways that I connect with God is through journaling. Now, I don't naturally journal, and I bought this journal a couple weeks ago, and now it seems really appropriate, and I'm learning to journal again, but I know at certain points in my spiritual journey that this has been an important part as I just share what's going on in my life, have a chance to write down my prayers, and even to go back and see what God has done and how God has been faithful. But that's a way that I connect with God. So share your photos with us. I'd love to see those, and I believe they would be an encouragement to other people as well. Because Jesus is telling us that we have to be connected with him because he is our source of strength. And that's what I see in these scriptures in John chapter 15. And these scriptures are part of a collection that's called the Farewell Discourse. And they occur in John chapter 14 that we looked at last week and carry through to John chapter 17, this farewell discourse in which Jesus is telling his disciples that he is going to go away from them, that he's going to be crucified, but that they will carry on the work. Essentially, he is saying to them, I am going away, but the work continues and you all will pick up that work, that you all, my disciples, and you and me today, that we will bear much fruit. That same fruit that Jesus was bearing. He's telling us, you will bear that fruit. But here's the thing. You have to stay connected to me. Because I am your source of strength. Because Jesus knows that when we experience disruption and disconnection, what he was getting ready to experience, when we experience disruption and disconnection, that this can be unsettling for us, that this can be a trying time for us, that it can bring up lots of questions for us. Many ways that we will experience fear and anxiety, that we will struggle within that. And even those of us on maybe our worst days, that we would say, I can't do this anymore. I don't think I have what it takes. I don't have the strength. I don't want to do this any longer. So Jesus is preparing us and saying, you will experience this, so you have to stay connected to me. We need to stay connected. And in fact, I want to read this to you. As Jesus says, I want to fill you with my power because I am the true vine. And that's the only way that you will have my power. That I'll be able to comfort you, to strengthen you, to help you face each day. So I want to read this to you again, just verse 5 in chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I know many of you are gardeners and you connect with God best through nature, and that's probably some of the photos you'll be sharing online. But for those of us who are not gardeners and we don't have green thumbs, I don't know what the opposite of a green thumb is, but I have whatever that is. I don't know, a regular colored thumb. So this analogy really doesn't connect to me. But what Jesus had in mind was this metaphor that the disciples would have known that was a strong metaphor within really the imagination of the Israelite people. Because when Jesus says, I am the true vine, Jesus was talking about a grapevine. And that throughout the scriptures and throughout Israel's history, that oftentimes God would refer to them as a grapevine that was planted in him and that would blossom and bear fruit for all to enjoy. And that was something that was a part of their experience. And that sometimes in the scriptures, God would say that you're not planted in me and you're not bearing fruit and you're withering and dying. And so you need to be grounded and connected and planted, rooted in me. And so that's a metaphor that Jesus is using that the disciples would have really called to mind. Because Jesus is saying to them, I am the true vine. But you disciples, us today, you are the branches, and that you will bear fruit. And he tells us what kind of fruit that is. Love one another as I have loved you. I loved you to the point of giving up my life for you. That's the kind of fruit that you will bear for other people. But you have to stay connected to me. And in fact, he uses this word for connection. He uses this word remain. Now, the word remain could also be translated as the word abide. Now, abide is a verb that occurs 10 times in this chapter. In John chapter 15, the word abide occurs 10 times. It's as if Jesus really wanted us to pick up on this because the word abide means to dwell. But it's a verb, so it means actively to dwell in a place, or it means to be present. And it doesn't mean just to be there, but to be actively present in the situation. To really live into this moment that we're in and this moment with him. That's what it means to be, to abide. And so to stretch our imaginations a little bit, because the vine metaphor doesn't quite connect with me, I'm going to offer up that perhaps what Jesus is saying is that we need to be plugged in to him. That Jesus is saying, be plugged into me as your source of strength so that I can recharge you, that I can fill you, that I can prepare you for what's ahead, that you have to connect with me. That's what it means for us to abide. So that makes me think that if we are to be connected with Jesus, our source of strength, our source of power, and to be recharged, how do we know when we run out of spiritual energy? Because unlike all the devices that are plugged in at my house and at your house, we don't have a battery gauge on us that tells us, you know, we're getting a little low, that we need to connect with God, or we're getting a little low, we're using too much of our energy, we're putting too much out, that we need to cycle back a little bit. How do we know when we're running out of spiritual energy? And really, I think the question is this way, that how do we connect with God, and really, how do we abide? And I believe the way that we do that is that we focus on self-care and soul care. That for us, a way that we can think about abide or being plugged into Jesus is self-care and soul care. And as I was researching this, I came across this idea of a spiritual energy audit. Now, this came from a Methodist pastor named Rob Fouquet, who had this idea of a spiritual energy audit, in which he says, you know, where are we using our energy? Where is it that you and I spend all of our time and kind of expel our energy into our projects and our life? Where is it that we do that? So we asked us a question that I think it's worthy for us to reflect on today. And so he asked this: what aspect of your life that only you could do? That you and I look at our life and ask the question, what aspect of our life that only you could do? Now, as we all live into this new reality of working from home and homeschooling, and maybe for many of us that we're even trying to be even more productive than we ever have been before, I think what a great time for us to pause and ask, what aspect of our life that only you could do? Because when I think about that question, I think about that I'm a husband and a father, and no one else has that role for my family. You know, I'm the only one in my life that can really attend to my soul, to grow in my relationship with God. No one else can make me do that. I think about that I'm the only one that can make me exercise and eat the right foods. Sometimes other people have given me suggestions on that, but I'm the only one that can really choose to do that. And you know, I'm the only one who says, you know what, I need a break. I need a time out. I need to take a day off. I need to take an hour off. You know what, I'm the only one who says, you know what I really need right now is to take a nap. And so for you today, you may be the only one who says, you know, I'm the only one who really is a student right now in my house, and I know what it is I need to get done, or I'm the only one who fills this role for my job, and I know that that's something more important right now. I need to give some important time and energy to that. Or for some of us, it may be that you are the parent or you're the grandparent, and only you can fill that role. And so when we think about this idea of a spiritual energy audit, what it says is those roles demand our best energy. That those things that are unique to us, that we need to give our best energy to those things, our best focus, our best time when we're at our best self, because we all have other things that needs our attention, other things that we're involved in. And so that made me think about this. If we take this idea of self-care and soul care, and we think about this idea of having kind of our own energy audit, and we look at our lives to say, hey, what has our energy? What has our attention? What is taking too much energy and too much attention? What's really capturing our imaginations and not the best way? If we take this idea, how do we really live into this to where we can abide in Christ, be connected to our source of strength, and bear the fruit that God would have us in the world? And so I want to offer this to you. A way that we do that is that we tithe our time. Now, if you've been around the church for any length of time, then you've heard the phrase tithe, and it's most likely applied to our finances, where we give a tenth of our income to the church or to ministries, to helping other people in the world, to carry on the work of God. But what if you and I looked at our time that way, and that we tithed our time? So for most of us, all of us have a 24-hour day, and in that, we maybe have 7 hours of sleep. Now, your mileage may vary on that, but, you know, kind of recommended we all get 7 hours of sleep. Then that leaves us 17 hours of which we're awake and we're using our energy and giving our focus and maybe trying to be productive and living our lives. And so if we were to tithe that, then that's 1.7 hours. Now, I'm not great at math, and I don't want to try it, but I also don't want to be legalistic, so you can put what the exact amount of time might be in the comments if you're so inclined. But I think about this. If you were to take either 1.5 hours out of your day, or just round up and go 2 hours, and you said, of this time, I want to set this aside for soul care and self-care. That I want to set this aside a time so that I abide in God and allow God to minister to me. Because God has uniquely created us as we are. And so we need time to reconnect with our Creator and reconnect with ourselves. And so maybe we take this time, 1.5 hours or 2 hours if we're rounding up. Or, like I said, maybe you have an Excel spreadsheet and you've got the exact amount of time. And so you were to say, you know, I'm going to look at my day and I'm going to spend, let's say, 45 minutes connecting with God. In the ways that you shared, maybe you're reading scripture, praying, working in your garden, maybe just being out in nature, taking a walk, maybe spending some time with those that really refuel you. If you're an extrovert, finding the people that you can't connect with, maybe you're connecting via Zoom, whatever it might be. Actually, maybe calling them on the phone. That may be strange. But however you do that, and you say, I'm going to connect with other people, I'm going to connect with God. And I'm going to do that. And so for this next bit of time, so whether that's 45 minutes with God, 45 minutes, I'm going to connect and do what I need to do to find rest. So that may be creating some artwork, maybe playing video games, maybe cleaning your house, maybe taking a nap, because maybe what you need most is rest. And you said, this is what I'm going to use my tithe time to do, is to connect with God, connect with people, and you schedule it. Maybe you spend some of the time in the morning, some of the time in the evening. Maybe you take all of the time in the afternoon and say, I'm going to connect with God and I'm going to connect with other people. And then you even do this. You communicate with those around you that this is your time. Maybe you tell your family, hey, this is my tithe time. I want you to know from 2 to 3, I'm taking some time for myself. And it'll be okay because I'll come back after that. But from 2 to 3, I'm going to go and I'm going to be alone. I'm going to read. I'm going to watch a show on Netflix. I got to see what Tiger King's all about. I mean, whatever it is. But you schedule that time because that time's important. Because what Jesus is telling us is that we need to be connected to Him as our source of strength. That we need to abide. That we need to dwell. That we need to be present. That we need to be plugged in. Because that's the only way that you and I are going to produce fruit in this world. And our world is changing. Our world is different. This is going on much longer than any of us ever anticipated. But our world still needs you. We need you to be healthy and whole. We need you to abide in Christ now more than ever. Because we need people who are living the resurrection life, the life that Jesus is offering, and providing hope, providing prayer, providing a sense of God is with us, and we will get through this. God is with us, and right now maybe I need to work and contribute and to do something important, but you also need to rest. God is with us, and I will abide with God because God is my source of strength. So today, whatever abiding looks like for you, I want you to know today that when you feel disconnected, God is your source of strength. So connect with God now more than ever. It's maybe the most important thing you could do. Will you pray with me? God, as we gather wherever we are today, God, I thank you that we can gather as a church family, that we can still connect together, that we can still check in on one another, that we can still say, I am with you, just as you, God, say, I am with you to us. So God, today for those of us who are feeling disconnected, maybe from other people or from you, God, may we connect to you as our source of strength. And God, may you fill us with your power, with your love. That God, we may know your hope and peace today. That even as we begin this holy week, that we can still cry out, Hosanna. Hosanna, you are the one that saves us. Because God, you still are the one that saves us. You're still the one, God, that rescues us, who makes us whole, who forgives us of our sins. It says, now go and love others as I have loved you. So Lord, may we love others. May we give grace to those that are trapped in our homes with us as we all navigate being a teacher and working and being a student when our parents are a teacher, when we have all these new deadlines and maybe even more work than we ever have before. God, may we give grace to each other. Give grace to each other when we get frustrated, when we maybe get tired of being around each other. God, give us grace. And God, give us grace as we begin to live into this soul care and self care. As we begin to tithe our time so that we can abide in you. Give us grace when we don't get it right. Give us grace when we are navigating that together so that we can support each other and say this time is important. Because you need to be connected to God. And so, Lord, I also want to pray for those who are sick today. That God, may they know you as the great physician. May they know you as the great healer. And God, for those who are in healthcare, who are really giving of their lives, who are serving other people and also a bit afraid of their families and passing on what they may catch to those that they love the most. God, may you protect them, may you support them. God, may they know that you are right there with them and that their work is holy work. And God, for all of us as we navigate this, we know that you are with us. So we thank you, God. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.